precious teaching moments. Well, review is actually teaching moments. And what I want you guys to get in the habit of is when you think of books of the Bible, just like we went through the book of Numbers, we went through the book of Ruth, we went through the book of Luke, we went through all these different books, that you would know some facts that help you know the genre that you're reading, to know the tidbits of where this lies within Scripture, right? So what are some things that you guys remember of Chronicles? Don't look at your notes, just anything you could just pull off of your brain.
Last book of the Jewish Bible.
Okay, it is the last book of the Jewish Bible. So it is not the case in our Bible. In our Bible, the non-Jewish version of the Bible, it is after the book of what?
Kings.
Kings, very good. Right, so it could be misleading. When you're reading through our Bible, you're like, why am I reading the same thing again? Right? But in the Jewish Bible, it was placed at the end for a reason. What was that? Anybody remember? Why was it placed at the end of the Jewish Bible? Was it written at the same times as the events of Kings? Yes or no? No, it was written in a post-exile period for the purpose of giving what? Hope. Okay? Hope for the future. Hope for the people. What else do you guys know about Chronicles? Okay, so we got a few facts out there. That was like three facts. What other facts do you guys know?
We don't know who wrote it.
We don't know who wrote it. Okay? We don't know who wrote it. We call the chronicler the chronicler. Okay? All right. What else do you guys know?
Focus is mostly on the good stuff.
Okay, the focus is mostly on the positive things of what?
David.
Of more than David? Of the kings, okay? And there is a special focus on the southern kingdom, which is Judah. Okay, good. Good, good. You guys are really getting this. It is a focus on the positive things, but are there negative things in there too? Are there the bad things that kings have done? Yes, but not predominantly the focus, right? The focus is to highlight under that covenant. Okay, we're going to talk about covenant today. Under that covenant and under that time, God blessed the people of Israel for obedience. And when there was disobedience, there was what?
Consequences.
Okay, another C word. Give me another C word. Huh?
Chaos.
Not chaos. There was chaos and consequence. But we call that in the Bible, that is a covenant of blessings and curses. Very good. Right? So we don't think in the framework of blessing and curses today. We do recognize God's blessings, but in that, under that covenant, we're going to be looking at covenants today, that covenant that they were under is a covenant of blessing and curses. Okay? That's why there's a highlighting of obedience, because obedience in that covenant brings blessings. Okay? Good. Any other facts you guys remember? Off the top of your head. That's like seven good facts. Anything else?
It almost mirrors Kings in terms of what's being written. Except
for okay, it almost mirrors what happens in the books that were written about the kings before, right? Okay, good. Anything else? That's eight facts. Can we get to 10? I don't even know if there's 10. I'm just making it up. Any other facts? How about what was the main theme that we looked at before we looked at covenants? We looked at, say it louder, worship in the Old Testament, right? Okay? And now we're looking at one of the main themes, the other main theme in there, which is, we're not looking at covenants, but we're looking at something. The theme is about God's covenant faithfulness, okay? God's covenant faithfulness. Good, right? It doesn't matter how you say it, because my son was sick last week and he was sitting right here, right? And he is saying it all day on Sunday and Monday. He was like, God is faithful to his covenants. God is faithful to his covenants. He was saying it with a B, covenants, covenants, covenants. And we were laughing. And we're like, wow, you actually learned that? He goes, yes, God always keeps his covenants. And I said, what are covenants, Corbin? Promises. Good. Wow, my son even learns through osmosis.
We're actually need that too. Oh, or that's the main theme in children's worship.
Hey, that's why. Hey, we're like Holy Spirit action going on, right? So CJ's like, oh, is God trying to tell me something about covenants, right? So we are looking at the Chronicles as a biography of God. That's the main theme, actually. And then the first thing that we're looking at is God's, or the first thing we looked at was God's sovereignty. Second thing, we're looking at God's faithfulness to his covenant promises, right? But we did take a detour, and that's what we're on right now. Because when the chronicler is talking about the word or promise that God has made concerning David and concerning his house, it was referring to the Davidic covenant. That is a particular covenant, okay? And so I realized that we wrote stuff. Okay, that the covenant concept, covenant in Scripture, this comes from the Bible dictionary, right? I'm always going to try to highlight this stuff so you guys can get it. Right? Okay, well, that's stupid. Let me just block the screen. The covenant concept is a central unifying theme of Scripture. It establishes and defines God's relationship to man in all ages. Basically, the understanding of covenants is an important concept of Scripture. And so I was led that we should take our time and go through understanding what, you know, covenants are, and also to go through some of the more important covenants in Scripture. Okay, so that's what we're doing. We looked at these last week, and I'm just going to go through it. We saw that our observations from the Bible dictionary, okay, is that... Oh, can you guys remember it before I say anything? Okay, good. Okay? Covenants are parties, two parties that are bound by an oath, okay? Second, what are some observations that you guys remember? Covenants are people bound by oath, or it could be between what? People, and it can be between God and people, okay? What else?
They're still used today.
Okay, covenants are still used today. Anything else? Okay, between God and man, good. What else?
Maybe conditional or unconditional.
It may be conditional or unconditional, good. How about another phrase that was similarly introduced in conditional and unconditional? They can be, it's U or B. Unilateral or bilateral, right? Unilateral means it's like one person initiating it and completing the covenant. And bilateral means it's between, like, hey, I agree to do this, and you as a party say, I agree to do this. That's bilateral, okay? So there's unilateral and bilateral. Okay, what else do you guys remember? Anything else? When you make a covenant, you are bound to it. And what else? Okay, there is always shedding of blood in the covenants, right? So we don't do that in our covenants today. Scott, you said covenants are still practiced today. Do we cut animals?
No.
Okay, but we do berit, right? We do karat berit, right? So we do cut a covenant, cut a deal. But that cutting in the past was cutting of an animal, and either walking between it, right, or, you know, eating of the sacrificial meat. Okay, good. Also, a lot of times, lastly, covenants were remembered by signs or witnesses. Okay, same thing today. Today, on a lot of covenant contracts, right, you have to have a witness. You have to have a notary. You have to have a sign of the covenant, right? Signature is in the word sign, right? I mean, sign is in the word signature, right? Okay, good. Something like that, right? Okay? So we got all these things in there, okay? That's kind of the basics of covenants. Last week, I wanted to ask a question, and this is where I was ending it, okay? Covenants, like marriage... Okay, hold on. I was not supposed to do this. I was supposed to, like, do a, whatchamacallit, animation thing, so you guys don't see it all together. No, did you guys see the answers? Are you guys already looking at the answers? Cheaters. Cheaters never prosper. Thank you, Nancy. Cheaters never prosper. Okay. All right, good. Okay, so here we go. So last week, there's a quote by someone that I put up called, "Covenants, like marriage, are of great importance because they keep us focused on what is truly meaningful in life." Okay, that's just someone put that together. Do you agree with this statement? Why or why not? And how would a covenant like marriage keep us focused on what's truly meaningful in life? Did we do this last week? No, right? Okay, so get into your groups and talk about this little quote here and see if you agree, because you might be like, I don't even agree with that. I don't understand it. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? But let your group kind of work through that together, okay? Group about three or four max. Thank you. Talk about it for about a minute or two. Okay, what do you guys think about this? What do you guys think about this? Who agrees with this? How about this group right here? Young men who are you guys married? Anybody married here? Stephen, you're married. You look like you're married. You look like you could be. All right. Stephen, do you agree with this statement? Why or why not?
I'm sure.
Okay, Stephen agrees with this. How would covenants like marriage keep us focused on what is truly meaningful in life? What do you think?
It's like a reminder for like, it's a reminder to be like committed, okay, not just like to your spouse, but also with like God.
Okay, okay. So it keeps you committed? Good. What do you guys think? Anybody want to help him out here? Anything to add into that?
I mean, like, we also just said, like, marriage is also, like, a way of having God at the center.
So okay, marriage is a way of having God in the center. Okay, you guys are tying marriage into a covenant with God. Okay, but I was actually just saying any covenant. How does any covenant, the fact that you make a covenant, keep you focused? This is kind of a tricky question, right? Because we always think covenant between covenant and God, but this is saying general covenant, like just covenants. Not even biblical covenants, it's just covenants. I misled you, I think. Okay? What do you guys think? How can a covenant, how can a, what's another word that my son said, right? Is how do promises keep us focused on what really is meaningful in life? Think about that. Did you guys discuss this? Okay, let's go down the tables. Anybody?
I think now a lot of people don't take marriage seriously.
Okay.
They have a marriage covenant, they go through the procedures, their ceremony, but they don't think it's that important.
Right.
They're not serious. Oh, maybe marry a couple of years and divorce.
Okay.
It's nothing as serious like that. It's
okay.
A problem.
Okay, so how does it keep us focused on what is truly meaningful?
I think it's just, if you have a good marriage, it's blessed by God.
Okay.
And if you don't take your vows seriously, it doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Okay, good, thanks. How about down the table here? How do covenants help us stay focused on what is truly meaningful in our life? Any comment? Okay, we got one over here.
I actually think that they have the possibility of it, but like, imagine you're making a promise with, like you're making a blood oath into like a gang or something. I don't think that's
yes, you're making a blood oath into a gang, he said. Yes.
So like that's not really good.
As an example, just an example.
Yeah. Yeah, as an example, of course. But like that's not really gonna
Let me see your hand real quick.
That's not really gonna like reflect you back onto like a truly meaningful like full thing in your life, right?
No, so I disagree. I disagree with that. I'm not condoning gangs or not. Okay? Why would you make a blood oath to join a gang? To say you're part of them. But why? Why did you want to be a part of them?
Because it's important to you.
Because it's important to you. And the point of the question, okay, so why would you do that? But See, the example of why I disagreed with him is because the example, though, expresses why I asked this question. How would a covenant keep you focused on what is meaningful in your life? You only join a gang by blood because you see the importance of it. You want it. It is so meaningful for you that you're willing to slice your hand open and share blood to get into it and commit yourself to it. You guys with me? That is what the question is asking, and I think maybe because of my headache, I wasn't able to articulate that, okay? So that thing worked, extra strength, man. I'm like now in the zone, okay? I'm in the spirit zone now. That helped me, okay? So what we need to realize is what we need to realize is how do covenants help us? You only make serious promises, okay? The fact that I have to say serious promises today, it is already sad enough. It means that we make promises that we don't keep all the time. But promises or covenants really are oath bound. So when you make a promise, when you make a commitment, it is supposed to be to something that you find is so meaningful in life. You're not going to back out of it. Or you're going to back out of it because, you know, by death, that's what you do in a marriage. You make a vow. And you say, whether it's through sickness or even in death, I'm committed to you. And you only make those vows, you only make that oath, you only make that promise or commitment because you know it is so important to you and it's meaningful for your life. You guys with me? Okay. So even if it's a gang, yeah, that might be relative to us, whether or not joining a gang by blood sworn oath is meaningful or not, but to whoever's making it, it's meaningful. And it's going to keep that person focused on what's meaningful to him. Right? I can't just get out of this gang. Like, I joined it by blood. Right? I'm not. Right? So my comment was, without covenants in our life, we will be easily led astray by our whims and our emotions. You see that? Because if I joined a gang and I didn't have to have a blood sworn oath, I'd be like, yeah, I want to join the gang with y'all because it's meaningful to me. And then in 2 weeks, the new video game that I've been waiting for came out, and I would rather play that video game. So then all my gang member friends are like, where you at, bro? Where you at, Holmes? Where'd you go, Holmes? Oh, whatever. I quit the gang because this new video game's out. Peace out, homie. I'm not in the gang anymore. That's you being led by your whims and emotions. If we made marriage covenants like it wasn't a covenant, you're just like, yeah, let's get together. Let's do a big old wedding just to kind of, we don't need to make a promise. Let's just kind of do it. And if it doesn't have that type of value to it, you're going to get out of it anytime. That's what Scott was saying. Okay? But covenants are important in our life so that we don't get led astray by our whims and emotions. Because in our mind, we should know we made a promise. We made a promise. And the promise matters. You guys with me? And it's not just a promise to God. I'm just talking about promises right now in general. When you give your word, are you known by your friends as someone who keeps his word? Because I know when I was young and growing up, we had a friend that was always breaking his promise with us. You guys have a friend like that? Or maybe it's you, right? You're always the one breaking it, right? You're always going to say, oh yeah, I'll meet you guys there at the mall. We'll go drink some milkshakes. Do you guys do that? Right? You guys go to the mall, drink some milkshakes? No? Okay, no, you guys don't do that. Okay. We go to the mall? Boba, okay. Hey, let's go to the mall. Everybody, we're all going to go together. We're going to the mall. Hey, these are our friends. We're going to the mall, right? Yeah, you're going to go? Yeah, I'm going to be there. See you there. And then that friend who doesn't go, you know that friend who always doesn't go, but always says, yeah, I'll see you there? after a while you're like, yeah, we won't see you there. No. Yeah, I'll go. I'll see you there. Yeah, whatever. We don't believe you because your word has no value anymore. You guys with me? Right? Where's the value of the promises that we make? This is why in the marriage covenant, we promise to be faithful in sickness and health and for richer or poor. We bind ourselves. I have bound myself to my wife to the greater good, and I refuse to be led away by temptation. Right? Okay, yeah, okay. You guys with me? Okay, so this is the values of covenants like marriage. Marriage just helps us understand of the importance of a promise. Okay?
All right. Here we go.
I say one aside. doesn't have Romans in Genesis? Exodus, God say the next time I won't destroy the world by flooding?
We'll go there. That's good. Right. Great. Yeah. So what are the significant covenants we see throughout the Bible and history, okay? That's the question. But I just want to explain something to you guys first, okay? The Bible is made of what? Two testaments, right? What are the two testaments called? The Old Testament and the New. And in every Bible, you have like the old, what I always call the crispy part of your Bible. It's crispy because it's like that gold that you never turn to. So every time you turn to it, it's like the crispy part of your Bible, and then like the New Testament that you always go to. Everybody reads and preaches and teaches from the New Testament. I'm just saying that because I love the Old Testament, okay? Like if I was not called to be a pastor and just called to do something of God, I would be an Old Testament scholar. Old Testament is so good. Don't ignore the crispy part of your Bible. It is really important, okay? But that's the Old Testament and the New. But you know what the word is for testament in Greek? Let's say it, okay? It's diatheke. Let's say it together. Diatheke, okay? The word diatheke, where we get the testament word from, is in Hebrews and Galatians, where the actual word for testament, diatheke, is properly rendered covenant. The word is actually testament or will or covenant in its simplest form, okay? If you look at different Bible Hub or something like that, and you look at all the different ways versions today use the word diatheke today, you will very rarely find the word testament. This is like King James Version early days. Okay? Today, most of the time, diatheke is just translated covenant because it is more properly translated that way. A great scholar, if you guys ever like thicker reading, like stuff that's just a little bit more dense, but super good, okay? That's my boy, Kevin. Kevin lived with us for like 8 months. And when he likes a dish that Bex made, mommy made, he goes, this is super good. He would do this, right? Our family still does this today because of Kevin. So when mommy makes something really good, like CJ goes, super. And we all laugh and we look at the empty seat of Kevin. We're like, oh, we miss Kevin. Right? But like, this guy is a super author. D.A. Carson, okay? D.A. Carson says this. It would be easier, it would be more accurate to speak of the Bible as having two covenants. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Of course, we have inherited the term testament, so we will continue to speak of the Bible having two testaments. Like, we don't want to be the church that starts going, oh, let's turn to the Old Covenant real quick and turn to the Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah. But the notion of covenant shapes an awful lot of how the Bible is put together rather than testament. Okay? So, according to this great guy, super guy, he would say, yeah, it'd be better if we actually called the Bible the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, because that's the way we understand Scripture, okay? That shows you how important covenant is in a biblical sense. You guys with me? Okay. All right. Okay, what are the significant covenants we see throughout the Bible? Okay? Any questions so far? Okay.
The four that we see, and I'm saying significant, okay? There are anywhere between 7 to 10, depending on what you want to consider covenants, okay? There are many little covenants between men and men. So there are many covenants in the Bible. If you are curious, like there's a nice little resource website called Precept Austin. And I'll try to share like good resources with you guys. You know when I said don't just Google anything? There's a website called Precept Austin, and you can look up covenants in there. It could give you a whole lot of information. It lists like a bunch of covenants in there, okay? Or even if you wanted to look up like a pretty good source that even Pastor James and I were talking about recently when he was preaching on something, he says, oh yeah, I used this thing a lot called Got Questions. Have you guys ever seen that online? Okay, it looks like this. You guys wanna see a resource? Okay, I have like a million things here. Okay, so Got Questions, and you can do like Ark of the Covenant or whatever, .org. Okay, where am I? Right here, okay. Okay, so if you go to this site called gotquestions.org, it's a pretty reputable site. There is some, there's a more definitive, like theological, you know, place where they land. But if you don't even know what I'm talking about right now, it doesn't matter, okay? But if, you know, it's fairly reputable, you know, Pastor James and I would endorse this site. The other one that I just said was called Precept Austin, and you could just look up things on there. Did I say .com or something? Okay, I don't even know what I just did. Where am I? Oh, that's Austin. Precept Austin. Oh, yeah, there you go. Like, you could go, okay, welcome, right? This is just, this guy compiles all types of, it started with one guy. I think it was in Austin, Texas. His name's not Austin. And then it started with a guy collecting better commentaries. Because everybody at home has, like, one commentary, right? What is it, if you even have it? Matthew Henry, okay? But this guy collects a lot of different stuff, and then in the age of internet, right, he starts to collect stuff from like John MacArthur, John Piper, all, like just good pastors and preachers and their sermons and all that stuff. And there's some good resources on here, I would say. You can even learn Greek and Hebrew words on here, like a decent beginning of it, right? So if I looked up covenants, I would find this, let me see, a summary of biblical covenants, okay? And see, that word, remember, I taught you guys that word last week, right? What is that? Berit, right? All right, here it goes. But down here, you can look at all this stuff, you can see, oh, there's covenants among men, covenants. I didn't use this, okay, but I'm just directing you to resources, but I did look at this. Look, here's a summary of like all these covenants. There's Noah's, okay? And then it says like, who is it, who's initiator? God. Who's involved? God and Noah. What's the reason for it? Blah, blah, blah. Divine judgment. Is there a sacrifice? Yes, because, right? Is there a promise or an oath, right? It's to keep people alive. Is there a sign? Woo, we talked about that, right? So good thing, right? Like, I'm teaching you stuff that's legit, okay? What is the length of it? Is there a meal, an altar, a name change, okay? So you see Noah's, we're going to cover that. And it even says, it's unconditional right here. Ooh, okay? So you can, but there's a lot of words in here. Like, I don't like reading stuff like this. It doesn't, okay? Like, I study it for you, but I don't like it. Then, like, there's a covenant between God and Abraham, called the Abrahamic covenant, right? Is it unconditional, right? Is there a whatever, blah, 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 right? Okay? And then, but it also lists all these other boring ones. Like, look, here's a man-to-man covenant in the Old Testament. between Abraham and Abimelech. You guys remember that one? That was a covenant. Okay? And you can see all the different covenants in there. Even when you talk about like the important covenants, people say like there's like 7 to 8 that God has made with man. But what I'm teaching right now is that there are the 4 significant ones for us to make sure we understand. And I do stuff in this class to just kind of make sure we remember stuff. So these are the 4, okay? We got Noah. And the way to say this covenant would be the Noahic. Okay, let's say that together. Noahic. Wow, fancy, fancy word. Now, when you go to another church, you'll be like, did you know about this? So Scott won't say, oh, I remember in Genesis or Exodus, there was a thing, was a promise with Noah. No, Scott will say, hey, I have a question about the Noahic covenant, so I could sound all snooty, right? And then the second significant one is the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant. The third would be the Mosaic, a very complicated covenant. Very complicated covenant. We're definitely going to look at that. And then the Davidic covenant. Okay, so these are the 4 most significant covenants there. Is that good? Nancy, your head's like blood. Is that you?
It's your
my back. I saw it. I'm like, dude, your head's like a big old head blocking the screen there. I'm like, do I have some important words here? Okay, so we got those. Starting next week, we're going to be looking at the Noahic covenant. Okay? I think we could do a real quick reading of this, though, quickly. Get into it. I'll get into some details next week. It's really fascinating. It's actually really fascinating. But I want us to see if there's a sign for this covenant. I think you might know what it is. And is it conditional or unconditional? And I just want you to read it for yourself first, okay? So turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, verse 8 through 17. We're going to take a quick look at that. And you just gotta remember to place yourself where things are in Scripture, okay? So I don't care if, like Scott was saying earlier, is it in Genesis or Exodus? I don't care if you know exactly what book or chapter or verse it is in. That's actually irrelevant to me. But you should know where it is in the timeline of events. Right? Is this before or after creation? Right? Okay? You should know that, right? Is this before or after the Tower of Babel? You guys should know stuff like that, right? Okay, so who would like to read 8 through 17 for me? Just give me one volunteer. Anybody. It's not a big deal. Okay, Scott, thank you.
Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Genesis 9, chapter 8. And God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you.
There you go.
And with your descendants after you.
Like the emphasis.
And with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've seen my rainbow in the buds and clouds, and it will be the sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood and destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of a covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth.
Very good. Thank you. Is that pretty cool? I think it is. Is there a sign that God made for this covenant? Which is it? What is the sign?
The rainbow.
Rainbow. Pretty cool if you think about it, right? And I always think like, really? That's kind of interesting, right? Every time God said,
every time when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember, because it's a sign, the everlasting covenant. That spreadsheet on Precept Austin said that the covenant was between who and who? God and Noah. True. He's talking to Noah. But actually, is it a little bit more? He made the covenant between what?
All mankind.
All mankind. All living creatures. God was protecting all the animals. Or creatures, bugs, right? Everything. The earth. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty heavy-duty promise. Is this bilateral or unilateral? Unilateral. It's a one-way covenant. One way. One-way street. It didn't go two ways. You don't have to do anything. He didn't say, if you guys don't sin again, I will not destroy the earth with a flood. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, if you make sure to never eat French fries, I will not destroy the earth with a flood. Nope, no condition. Unilateral, no condition. And the sign was a rainbow. Okay, so very good. So you guys saw that. What we're going to do next week is we're going to break down verses 8 through 17. I just want you to know that covenants sometimes will build on previous covenants. Okay? Sometimes they will even change previous covenants that God makes. Because there actually is another covenant that God made before Noah. And that covenant is with... who's the big guy before Noah? Adam. Okay? So that would be called then the Adamic covenant, right? Adamic covenant, okay? And I'm going to show you stuff in here that is a little bit different than the way God wanted everything originally to be. You'll see it. I mean, if you just study this week, you'll see that there's stuff in here that's different than what God originally wanted to be. Do you guys want to see one, for example, before we leave, or just carry it on to next week? Keep you guys hanging, to be continued. You want to see one or no? Who wants to see one? No? You want to see one or no? Just wait? Okay, I'm seeing a lot. Okay, I'll give you a little taste. Okay, I'll ask those questions next week. Okay, check this out. If we look at verses 1 and 2, and God said, okay, this is what we just read, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Where did you see that before?
Before?
That was with Adam, right? Okay, all right, we're on the same. We all read the Bible? Okay. Verse 2, the fear of you and, okay, it's moving on to fear of you and the dread. Okay, something's missing here. What is missing from Genesis chapter 1? Ooh, see, I like Matthew. Matthew goes straight for the Bible. He goes straight for the Word. Right? Or his text, I'm not sure. That was good, right? What's different from Genesis chapter 1? God was making transmission, a provision for the transmission of the human race. Man was commanded to fulfill the earth because the population was down to 8 people. Okay, that's what happened. God destroyed every person on the earth with the flood. And it was Noah and his family, that's 8 people, okay? The command to subdue the earth, which is what you saw in 1:28, is no longer present. And that was forfeited because of sin. You see that? This covenant modified the covenant that God made before. Now, that's fascinating. How this is. We'll talk about that more. Okay? Because God is faithful to his covenant promises. How is that? How is this all going to link together? But this is interesting because sin changed the dynamic of everything. Okay? So you're no longer subduing the earth. And did you notice this? I'll give you guys a little taster of two, okay? The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. What do you see different between this and Genesis chapter 1? What do you see here that's different? God had never created, and you don't see any mention of it, where animals were afraid of people. There was shalom, peace, in all of God's creation. You guys with me? Okay. There was shalom, peace, in all of God's creation. Man was able to wrestle. I would love that era. Any of you who like to wrestle with dogs, what about wrestling with a lion or a tiger? Would you like to wrestle with a rhino and it not murder you, right? Slaughter you? Would you want to just stick your head into a crocodile's like jaws? I would. I totally would. And be like, what's up, buddy? Go ahead. But he's not going to bite me because there's no fear of animals in man. In fact, the first mention of a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice of an animal was when?
At the fall.
Huh?
At the fall.
It was at the fall. Right? An animal was slaughtered to provide the skin for the coverings of Adam and Eve after they, what? Sinned. God created the first killing of an animal just for that. Before this, animals had voluntarily subjected to man previous because man would now become carnivorous. Well, okay, so there's different like people who think different things on that. But God placed the fear of man and animals for their protection and preservation. Adam and Eve weren't told to eat animals when they were created. Okay? I don't think they were eating steak at that time. It was only until God killed the first animal and was like, hey, I took the skin. Help yourself with some steak. That's maybe an upside to sin. I'm just kidding. That's so wrong. Right? That's so wrong. Steak is a gift from God, man. Don't mess with that, right? Someone says, oh, no way. Okay, so this is really fascinating stuff. In 8 through 17, I'm going to point out some of these things to you guys. The first sacrifice to God of an animal was right here with Noah. Right here. When Noah built an altar to the Lord in chapter 8, verse 20, and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasant aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse you. You see? That's the first sacrificial offering to God. Okay, you guys with me? All right, that's where we are headed into. I understand that I'm leaving you with some questions, okay? Covenants are important. Covenants can be simplified, but covenants get very complicated. Things may not all mesh up all together just yet. Just hang in there, because we're going to keep breaking through these significant covenants. Okay, you guys with me? All right. Let me just pray for us real quick. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the rich topic. I know that it is, on one hand, so interesting, but on the other hand, there's so much for us to learn and process, because we do see covenant language all throughout the Word of God. And what does that mean to us as we're studying Chronicles? That Chronicles is telling you that you are faithful to your covenant promises. Even the promises from creation, the early promises, will be ultimately fulfilled because you always keep your promises, God. We thank you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.